Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now, Peter and John, and I'm glad that we're here instead of Genesis, because Peter and John's a much easier name than to pronounce than the wild donkey man of Beth Beer Lahay or whatever it was, or all these other names from Genesis. And so here we are with some better name pronunciations, a little bit easier. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his gaze, his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, before I even get started, let me tell you the chances of me calling this the blind beggar rather than the lame beggar is about 100%. So if I say blind, let's all understand, I mean lame. He's lame. He's the lame beggar. But if that happens. The title of today's sermon, the message, is God's Greatest Gift. Now, in context, in view of the passage, we could say God's greater gift. But I just want us to go ahead and say God's greatest gift. Now, before we move on, what is God's greatest gift? Let me just go ahead and clarify this. God's greatest gift to mankind is Himself. God has given us Jesus Christ, the Son, and salvation in and through and because of Christ and Christ alone. So the greatest gift given is salvation in and through and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's greatest gift is Himself, is Jesus Himself. And so that's the greatest gift. Now, what I want us to do this morning, this is going to be a little different. Sermons are like snowflakes. They all come out different. None are exactly the same. Hence, some are written on envelopes and things like that. So you never know. But what I want us to do today is, and I hope you trust me in this, I'm not asking you to kind of go in some sort of metaphysical trance, but I do want you to use your mind's eye. And with your glorified imaginations, as good as you possibly can, picture this. Because this is historical narrative. This is an event. I don't want to call it a story because people associate stories with fiction. This is not fiction. This is fact. This happened. And I want us to picture it because a lot of times in Scripture it's hard to envision. This is not. This is not. We can see this. And so with your mind's eye, go with me to this setting, to this scene in Acts. And what God is doing here, what the writer of Acts is doing here, is look back at chapter 2, verse 43. All came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And so these many signs and wonders that are being done here, we're going to zoom in on this one event, this one of many of these events that's taking place. Many of these signs and wonders, these miracles are taking place. And we're going to zoom in and look at this because God is going to be authenticating His Word here. It's going to prove that the apostles are indeed of God, followers of Christ, from Christ, and it's gonna authenticate these miracles and wonders, these signs that God said, that Christ said would happen. And so they're gonna know that this is of God, and the disciples, these apostles, are truly Christ followers and God followers, that they're not some of these charlatans and fakes and these folks that were out and about at the same time. They are gonna know beyond the shadow of any doubt that this is of God. And that these men are of God. and it's going to cause them, we're going to see, to listen to what they have to say even more. So we're going to zoom in on this miracle that they focus on, that they emphasize here, and we're going to walk through the text, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to preach the sermon. And then I'm going to give you the points of the sermon. So maybe you'll hear it about three times and we'll understand it once by the end. But hopefully we'll get there. Now, Peter and John, who are they? Apostles. They're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciples. They've been members of the inner circle. They were the first ones to get to the tomb following the resurrection of Christ. Peter and John, they had worked together as fishermen. They had ministered together as apostles. And so they were buddies. They were friends. They were pals. They were apostles, followers of Jesus. And what are they doing? They're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. This is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is also the time that the evening sacrifices would be made, and that's going to be a key point here in a minute. So it's setting the scene. Now, obviously, the hearers would have understood everything that this encompasses, and so we're having to fill in some of the gaps and color in a little bit more between the lines. So they're going up to the temple to pray as sacrifices are being offered at the ninth hour around 3 o'clock, and a man lame from birth. Now, lame, crippled. He can't walk. Now, what is being emphasized, if this was not some new happening, this had been his lifetime, his life ordeal from birth. So he's never walked, not as an infant, not as a child, not as an adult. He has never walked. He has been lame since birth. And if we don't get that, they're reemphasizing that by saying he was carried. Now, that just emphasizes he cannot walk. He could not get around on his own. He had been this way since birth. And this happened, look, every day, whom they laid daily. So this is a daily event where this lame man from birth, and what do we begin to see? This guy's hopeless. This guy's helpless because doctors couldn't help him. Doctors couldn't heal him. He was in this helpless estate, and he's being carried every day to beg. And so he's taken to this place, laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. Now, they would have understood exactly where this place was and what it looked like. It's been written by historian Josephus that the Beautiful Gate was so large that it took 20 men to open and close. It separated the court of the Gentiles from the court of women, and so I know we don't really picture that. So just picture, it's at the temple. It's where people went up to worship God, to offer their sacrifices. It was a heavily traveled, heavy traffic area, and so this guy was strategically placed at this place every day because that's where a lot of people were coming and going, especially at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to make their sacrifices. Now we continue. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. So obviously, if you're a beggar and you're begging for money, then the best place to go is where the most people would be, right? And so that's where he's at. He's sitting at the temple. Now also, as they're going to make sacrifices, they would also be going to the temple to make their tithes and offerings, right? And so these guys are going up to the temple with a heart, giving, even like we've been talking about in Sunday school. Hey God, look, I'm going into the temple. Hey God, look, I'm making my sacrifice. Hey, here's my money. And look, see these beggars here? God, I'm giving them. I'm doing my good deeds. I'm giving these beggars money. They're here. And so the lame beggar is in a strategic position to get the maximum amount of money which he was begging for. Now I have to pause here. And I hope you in your imagination are picturing this. When we went to India years ago to get Annalise, we went to church in India on a Sunday. That's an experience I'll never forget. At the church, there is a gate. There's a fence. And there were people lining the gate, the fence. Lepers. No fingers, no noses, pieces and portions of their person falling off and gone. There are blind people. You could look, their eyes gone, their eyes there. They would just hold their hands up. Many of them hung their heads in shame and just raised up And they're lining the gate because just like this, I thought about this. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, good night. This is the Bible playing out before my very eyes. Here are the lame. Here are the blind. Here are the sick. Here are the homeless. Here are the helpless. And many of them are just sitting there like this. Have mercy. Have mercy. Be merciful. A lot of them are just doing like this, saying, give me food. You know, I can see kids. There were kids. There were kids, lost limbs. There were kids carrying infants, babies, going knocking on windows and going like this. Everywhere you went, you were surrounded by beggars. Everywhere. Now, but this is at the church. You would be surrounded by myriads of people. You see the Taj Mahal in this beautiful place of beauty. It's a mosque, but it's this beautiful, one of the ancient wonders of the world. But trust me, to get in there and to get out of there, you're going to be surrounded by thousands of beggars. And I'm not making that up. And they're going to be kids, and they're going to be doing like this. And you're just going to weep. Because they say, don't help one. If you give one, you're going to be surrounded. If you help one, you're going to be swamped. You're going to be sucked into this massive sea of humanity because they know you're American, you have money. And so here they're lined at the church. I saw this. I saw this, these people. So you can picture this. This guy is one of those people out of hundreds of people sitting there daily, holding his hands up, crying out for mercy. Be merciful to me. And here comes Peter and John going into the temple. And it says, he asked to receive alms. Now, money, whatever, food, money. He just wanted provision. He wanted help. And I want to go ahead and give a corny dad joke, a corny pastor joke. The guy asked for alms and God gives him legs. Now, some of y'all will get that tonight when you're laying in your bed. He asked for alms and he gets legs. Play on words there. Dad joke, I admit it. Corny pastor joke. But he looks. Peter directed his gaze at him. Now again, out of all these beggars, all these lame people, this one, he fixes his gaze on him. He directs his gaze at him. John did too. Look at us. Look at us. Focus your attention, right? And he did. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Again, alms, money, whatever. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold. And you could probably picture his little heart dropping a little bit. He's not going to get that money that he's so used to getting. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. Well, what's he about to give me? He's probably thinking. His hands up, open and wide. And then look at what he says. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, let me just go ahead and go back. That's a common way that Jesus was referred to during his earthly ministry. What does it emphasize? It emphasizes the fact that he's 100% God and he's 100% man. He's the God-man from Nazareth. Nazareth. I'll get it right in a minute. He's Jesus, the Savior, Yeshua, Joshua. God is salvation. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. He's from Nazareth, so He's the God-man. And under in His name, what does that mean? By His power, under His authority, because of His character and power, as a delegate of this man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does He say? Rise up and walk. Command. I command you in the name of Jesus and in His power, because of His name and grace and mercy and character, rise up and walk. And what did He do? Took him by the right hand and He raised him up. He stood up. He did something about it, right? He didn't just sit there limp. He rose up. He acted. And immediately His feet and His ankles were made strong. Okay? Immediately. It wasn't gradual. That's why the word immediately is put there. This God is not gradually going to fix this. This is boom, blink of an eye. Couldn't walk all his life. Boom, now healed strong, rising up and walking. It was immediate. And that's just one of the many ways that God just proved the fact that this was of God. This was not some fake. This was real. people. This is real. This really happened. It immediately happened. It completely happened. He was completely healed. And do you see it? I mean, good night. Can you imagine not being able to move and be mobile and walk your whole life and then boom, you can? What would you do? I'd be like Richard Simmons, right? That's what this cat's doing. I'm leaping. I'm jumping. I'm a pony, you know, like Richard Simmons. That's exactly what he's doing. He leaps up. Now, he didn't have to learn to walk. Boom. Instantly, he was walking. He knew how to do it. Immediately, he leapt. He jumped. He stood. He began to walk. And what did he do? He immediately went to worship God. He entered into the temple. He's leaping and praising God. God was merciful to me. God saved me. And it's not just physically, it's spiritually. And we're going to talk about that more in a minute. He is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And lest I forget it, let's just go ahead and look there. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. And His name, whose name? Jesus. By faith in His name has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. He is saved physically. He is saved spiritually. How? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Yeah. Needless to say, do you see it? He got the greater gift. He got the greatest gift. He was saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And look, the people saw him. Can you imagine? Do you know people like this? Your whole life. Blind, deaf, lame. You see them? And then one day you go to Walmart. They're walking. You go to church. They're there, walking in. We normally say, "What? Have you done something to your hair? Oh, I love your clothes. You got legs, man. You're walking. What's up with that? How does that happen?" They saw this, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. So, clarification again, this is not some imposter. This was that same guy. The one who had been lame his whole life, that had been carried by his friends, the one that was helpless and hopeless and begging every single day. Boom! He's jumping, he's walking, he's praising. And look, they were filled with wonder. And somebody said this too, probably that beggar guy's worship was the most true and perfect worship that was offered at the temple that day. You better believe it. He'd been saved. He was walking. And so he goes in praising. He knew who did it. He knew what had happened. And everybody else was filled with wonder and amazement. That's an understatement. And what had happened to him? What is the first thing you're going to ask? If you see how are you doing this? How did that happen to you? How did that happen? Okay. Boom. We finished. We've gone through the verses. Do you see it? This is great. I mean, wow. Do you see it in your mind? Okay. Now here's the points. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. What do we see? We can see God's divine providence. God's working behind the scenes of everything, right? And His providence. He's working everything out according to the counsel of His will, according to His own purpose, according to His own plans. So we see God's divine providence at work, God's divine plan at work, and it's revolving around this one divine appointment with a man that was born lame and had been lame his whole life. And so, Romans 8:28, right? God causes all things, even lameness of this man, to work for the good of those that love the Lord, to those that have been called according to His purpose. So God in His providence, in His plan, in this divine appointment is working everything that we just read for the greatest good of His people and for the greatest glory of God. Needless to say, God is glorified in this. One was saved, and we're going to see, spoiler, many, many more were saved. Why? Because of this one divine appointment. That God, this certain man, this one man out of the many, He was the one. He was the one. Secondly, God's divine proof, I've already mentioned this, of His divine power. It's proof of His power. God doesn't just say it, He does it. He backs up His words with works. He acts upon it. The apostles are going to do this in the name of Jesus. They're doing signs and wonders and miracles, and they backed it up. They weren't fakes. They were genuine. They were real. And now, you've got my attention, right? This guy I've known my whole life who couldn't walk, he's walking. How? You got my attention. And so that's what God's doing here. He gives divine proof of His power to do what? To heal both physically and spiritually. God saved him physically. God saves him spiritually. We've already looked at Acts 3:16. I want to read that again. And by His name, by Jesus' name, by faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know in the faith that is through Jesus, has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Now flip over to Acts chapter 4, verse 16. And what does it say? These are the leaders later. What shall we do with these men, Peter and John? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And what? And we cannot deny it. Even the leaders can't deny this happened. They knew it. They knew it. What does this tell us? It happened. This guy that had the inability to walk is all of a sudden able to walk. That should have your attention and my attention as well, because this happened. Even those who hated Jesus acknowledge it. They never say it didn't happen. They admit it did. Now what are we going to do with that, is what they're saying. So God's divine proof of His power to heal supernaturally, both physically and spiritually, is seen here. His words authenticated, proven by His works. We see His sovereignty, right, in providence. Let me go back and say that. In His providence, His sovereignty. And then we get to the third point, God's divine purpose in all of this. What is it? Why is this in here? Why do we read this? What is God's divine purpose in all of this? Well, saving this one man leads to the salvation of many others. Through the salvation of one, many are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, following what? Peter's proclamation of the gospel, his proclaiming the gospel. So this gathered a crowd. This drew the people, this one guy, by going to that one specific one that they knew had been lame since birth. Now here comes hundreds of people to say, I got to find out about this. I got to know what happened here. And so through the salvation of one, what happens? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 2. But actually, let's read the first, or chapter 11 of verse 3 before we go there. It says, while he clung to Peter and John. Do you see this? This guy is hugging them. Brothers, brother. Oh, can you imagine? They just made this guy whole. He clung to them. He clung to them, and all the people, utterly astounded. Here we go. They ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And what is Peter going to do? He's going to preach. He's drawn a crowd. Now that I have your attention, let me tell you. And I'm not going to preach the rest of that chapter. That's next week. But I'll give you a hint. He preaches Christ. Look at verse 4:2. It says, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people what? All these people that had come a-running. And they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So he's preaching the gospel. Look at verse 4. What happens? But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So through the salvation of one comes the salvation of the many, following Peter's proclamation of the gospel. And look at Romans chapter 8. This should sound very familiar. This is how God works, right? Romans 8:28 through 30. we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. Do we see that here in this lame man? Absolutely. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He's also going to glorify. So because of this one divine appointment, and the salvation of this one man, comes the salvation of many more. And we see how it works. Those He foreknew, He predestined. Those who He predestines, He calls. Those who He calls, He justifies. Those who He justifies is going to be glorified. That's what we see taking place here in these verses. And so that leaves us with 15 minutes to go. And what does that have to do with us in 2023? So I've had you visualize. Now I want you to personalize that. I definitely don't want to read into the text things that are not there, but I do want you to draw that chart in your mind, and it's called the lame beggar and you. The lame beggar and you. And I want you to see this. And this is you if you are in Christ, if you are a believer in Christ. And here's the lame beggar. Now let's look at the beginning of our story, the beginning of his story, and then real quickly, go through our life story, our salvation, our life story. Now, he is physically lame. But do you realize he was also spiritually dead at that time? He cannot save himself. That's been made abundantly clear, either physically or spiritually. He is helpless, hopeless, physically and spiritually. I got news for you. Before you ever came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know what you were? You were dead in your transgressions and sins. And you know what? Just like that beggar, you're helpless. You're hopeless. You can't fix it. Nobody else can, save Jesus. And so, spiritually dead. So, we may have been able to walk, and he wasn't, but we're both pre-Christ, pre-salvation, dead in our transgressions and sins, just like the rest, helpless and hopeless. Now look at the lame man. God, through His spokesman, Peter and John, the apostles here, sovereignly sought him out specifically. Right? Him. They fixed his gaze on him, out of everybody. Him. They sought him out. They called him. They sought him out specifically. And here's the thing. Stand amazed, people. The gospel got to you. Do you know how amazing that is? You look at the history, biblical history, how we got our scripture, how Christianity, biblical Christianity, it got to you. Amazing. It got to the lame beggar, and it got to us. The gospel got to us specifically. It came to you, personally. You, out of all the world. Out of the whole world, you. It got to you. Divine appointment. That parent, that pastor, that teacher, that friend, that tract, that Bible, it got to you sovereignly by divine appointment. Divine appointment in Acts. Same way. And look, there's a call given, right? Call, look at me. Rise up. Walk. There's a call given every week. When you hear the gospel, repent, turn from your sin, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And be saved. That's the call. Oh, I can think of something else. Lazarus, come forth. Called out specifically from the dead. You, come here. And he did it. And he did it. And the blind person, what did he do? Blind. Lame. He exercised faith. He didn't just sit there. He's like, woo! He jumped straight up. He acted on his faith. He responded in Jesus' name. Wait, isn't that the guy they hung on the cross? I remember hearing something about that. But you're telling me to rise up in his name and his power? I believe. And I'm going to act upon it. And he rises up. He rises up. He exercises faith. Now, obviously, let's go providentially. What's happening behind the scenes? Holy Spirit's at work, right? Holy Spirit's at work this whole time in his heart, in his life. What's going on in our life? The Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts. Supernatural. A supernatural thing is taking place. A supernatural physical healing. A supernatural spiritual healing. And so in his case, it's both physical and spiritual. In ours, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit is taking place. And you too. You too, if you're in Christ, you exercised that faith. You did believe. You did go. You did come forth. And you said, I believe. And you know what? Just like that beggar, you said, have mercy on me, O God, the sinner. And it's by grace alone, through faith alone, that you and this blind, lame beggar are saved and healed. It's both. Do you see the sovereignty of God in this and the responsibility of the believer? God sovereignly seeks, God sovereignly calls, and he responds by faith, but it's all because of the supernatural, miraculous work going on. It's all together. We don't understand, but it's all together, and it fits. And then look, he is spiritually regenerated. New life. New legs. He is spiritually regenerated. He is supernaturally, miraculously, by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's regenerated physically. He's saved spiritually by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He's filled, he's healed spiritually and physically. And if you are in Christ too, you've been spiritually regenerated. You have a new life. You've been given life. You were spiritually dead. You've been made alive in Christ. You've been saved miraculously and spiritually healed, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And now that leads me to the envelope. We've received the greater gift. We've received the greatest gift. We've received salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the powerful name of Jesus, by His authority. By His authority, if anyone is in Christ, he's what? He's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, new things come. What happened to you? You got legs. I've been changed. Physically, outwardly, and inwardly. Outwardly. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He's regenerated. And let's real quickly go through this. I see the time. Salvation leads to joy in and through him because of Jesus. He's jumping for Jesus. He's leaping. He's running. He's praising God. He is glorifying God. And the glorification of Jesus through this proclamation and testifying and bearing witness of His salvation, of His saving you. Well, what is that? That's evangelization. So right immediately after he's healed, he's glorifying God and saying, He saved me. He saved me. God saved me. God healed me. God, help me, Jesus Christ, in His name. And so guess what? He's pointing people to Jesus, of where they too can find grace and mercy and salvation and spiritual healing miraculously and supernatural through Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so He's already filling some divine appointments, right? He's already pointing, here's where I got my healing. Here's where I got saved. Here's where I got changed. Here's where I got regenerated. He's pointing people to Jesus. And guess what he's doing already immediately after he's glorifying God? That's Great Commission, right? He's praising God. God did this. God changed me. How did you change? God changed me. God saved me. And so these appointments lead to many other people coming to Christ. So he's already fulfilling the Great Commission. Do you see that all being played out in here? And the thing, that's the same thing that should be happening in our lives. We've received the greater gift. That's exactly the same thing. God saves us. We should be glorifying God. People say, hey, what's up with you? And we're able to share the hope that we have within us, where they too, hey, I was a hungry beggar, and I'm going to point you to where you too can find bread. And so I'm just going to show you the way too, where you can receive salvation, forgiveness, healing, and eternal life. Forgiveness of sin is through Christ. And so others see Jesus, and guess what else happens after that? They hear the good. You heard the good news. You share the good news. They hear the good news. And by God's grace, they receive, they believe, and then what? Repeat. Repeat. And this is how God is growing His church, right? This is how the church is growing, by multiplication. Here's the salvation of one leads to the salvation of many. And then they're going to go out and they're going to have their divine appointments just like this. And they're going to come. And then it got to us. It got to us from this. You want to follow the tree that led to us here? It's this. The salvation of this one. The salvation of the many. And here we are. Here we are. Thank you, God, for saving that beggar. The trustworthiness, already done with the envelope. The trustworthiness and truth of the gospel is and should be continually confirmed through us. Through our lives, through our words, we could say through our works and our words. We should point people to Jesus and how we live and what we say, because God is going to continue to miraculously save, supernaturally and spiritually heal and regenerate people miraculously through the Word taught, read, and preached. And guess what? His Word will never return void. It's going to accomplish exactly that which it sent out to do. So that brings us right back to Romans 8:28. In 29 and 30. God's causing all this to work for the good, for His greatest good, for His greatest glory and our greatest good, for the good of His people. Now, personal story real quick. Y'all know Annalise. Hey, she looked at me now, first time during the whole sermon. There she is. Lame from birth. She couldn't walk till she was 2. Her legs were folded up and bent under her. She's got what's called AMC. It stands for Arthrogryposis Multiplex Congenita. You've probably never heard of it, because we never had heard of it before we met her. It means hooked joints. She has hooked arms, hooked hands. Her legs were twisted. Her arms were twisted. Me and Anna Catherine don't even know how many surgeries she's had. We did not get her till she was 2. She couldn't walk when she was 2. Her legs were still folded and bent. She's had at least 1 or 2 or 3, I don't remember, surgeries since she's been home. But she's been lame from birth. And I'm not an apostle. I can't heal her like this miraculous healing. Now, this went out with the apostles, right? The apostles were doing these mighty works. But can God still heal her? Absolutely. He can miraculously, supernaturally, through the prayers of His people. And so I invite you to join with us. God, if you're willing, help, restore, regenerate. Do what you got to do to help her little hands and help her little arms. But I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to praise God and celebrate and saying, my little girl this week said, Daddy, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. God saved her. She trusted in Christ as her Savior and Lord. God miraculously saved her. And here's the deal. If God doesn't heal her physically, that's okay. She's received the greater gift. She's received the greatest gift. And so I rejoice in that and thought, man, God in His providence that I'm working on this, and here's my little girl and all this. And wow, awesome, 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 because she receives the greatest gifts. And hey, when I read this and I see that and hear that, I'm reminded of Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Hey, brothers and sisters, I was dead. You realize you're looking at a dead man talking? I was dead. But yet I live. How? Jesus. Jesus. You can say that if you're in Christ. I've been miraculously saved by God's amazing grace and mercy. And today in 2023, like the apostles, I'm going to say this to you, silver and gold. I don't have much, if any. But what I do have, I give I thee. I give you Jesus. I give you the gospel, the good news that you as a dead person can be made alive again. I give you the gospel that come every soul by sin oppressed. Hey, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. So only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Why? He'll save you. He'll save you. He will save you now. Understand today, He's the greatest gift. He is the greater gift. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is the greatest gift. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? Amen.